From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of October 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Along the way, we'll hear from USDA state statisticians in Minnesota, Illinois, and Nebraska. It's frozen in part of that world and wet in the other part, and the harvest is well behind. They'll give us a complete update from their regions. And then, as we close out this half-hour program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat at $5.13, a penny and three quarters higher. The March at $5.32, up one and three quarters. And the May, $5.44 and three quarters, up a penny and three quarters. December corn futures, $3.83, up one and one quarter. The March at $3.95, up a penny and three quarters. And May at $4.03, up one and three quarters. July corn futures, $4.10 and a quarter, two higher. September at $4.15, up one and one quarter. November beans a penny higher at $9.94. January at $9.98, up two and a quarter. The March at $9.99, up three and three quarters. And the May beans, 4 cents higher at $9.93.5. July at $9.91, up four and a half. And the August soybeans at $9.87.5, up 3.5 cents. October bean meal today at $3.36 a ton, up $9.70. December futures were 60 lower at $3.05.70. October soybean oil, $35.95, up 9. December futures at $36.18, up 12 cents on the afternoon. October live cattle futures, $83.25, a buck and 5 cents higher. December futures, $85.57.5, up 90 cents. October feeders at $93.72.5, up 67.5, and the November at $94.15, up $1.02.5. October lean hog futures, $51.10, 65 cents higher on the day. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $75.18 on their final trade today. A settlement price up $1.03 in the November. December at $75.60, up 89 cents. November ethanol at $1.88.2, down 6 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at $4.43.5, 15 and a half cents lower. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.87, or rather $1.85.7, up 2.5 cents. Heating oil trading at $1.94.1. That's diesel fuel. It's a penny and 7 tenths higher. The propane futures up 3 tenths of a cent at 99 cents, and the gold futures at at $1,063.90, down 30 cents. The Dow at 9,982, just about 111 points higher at this hour, and the U.S. dollar is trading 0.42 lower at 75.55. The CRB index at 269.93. is up 1.8 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, with an update from Mike Sola. He says tonight, cloudy, rain returning from the west to the east overnight. Lows will range from 36 in the north to 43 in the south. And then tomorrow in the north, cloudy, some rain in central and southern sections. Cloudy with periods of rain during the morning and scattered showers and drizzle during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow ranging from 40 in northwestern Illinois to 50 in the far south. The extended forecast says unseasonably cool weather will continue on Friday and Saturday with a few spotty light showers. Wet snowflakes, that's right, snowflakes may mix in with the rain showers in a few spots. Dry weather long with a warming trend starts on Sunday and lasts into Tuesday. Computer models indicate a return to damp and cooler weather later next week. So while a brief period of drier and milder weather is expected early next week, we will have longer-term concerns regarding harvest progress. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's another wet, gray day, although producers, I suppose, were in the field. What'd you hear about yesterday's harvest? Anything?
Well, their beans were wet here. They started out early at 16, and I think I did hear some people actually getting some harvest at 14. I understand that they are harvesting corn in Iowa today, and they were maybe harvesting beans yesterday, but it's a wet day in central Illinois. There'll be a little rain in Thursday, and there'll be a rain system the middle part of next week, and then on the extended one, the private people are talking about some more rain the following week. It's a real dilemma because everybody is basically ready, set, go to go full throttle as far as harvesting is concerned. The wet weather is a major debacle, as well as a major devaluation in the U.S. dollar. We're seeing a lot of cheers and roars of happiness on the in Wall Street, with the Dow trading over 10,000 today for the first time in many a moon. Mm-hmm. And the stock market's up strong today. The dollar's weaker. Crude oil's up. And one of the interesting deals about this devaluation is that with crude oil up, corn can be turned into ethanol, and ethanol relates to crude oil, and that's one of the inflationary spirals we're seeing in the economy.
Well, given that, maybe we should come back a little bit closer to home and the harvest month, I think, and talk about the problems that producers have in the fields and what they're facing and what that means in terms of the back pocket. So you mentioned this probably more than a month ago, I know, on Commodity Week, about the potential of disease problems and diplodia and being docked or discounted for that a few points. And then we turn around and we've got this wet weather across a good portion of the Midwest. Illinois, I think, was, 6% done yesterday in its harvest, and it's normally, was it more than 50% generally? And so there are some drying discounts out there for quick ship from the elevators, but still producers, when they go to the market, are looking maybe at $3.75 for their corn. And you start taking the dock off, and pretty soon it's $3.05, depending on how much diplodia and how much moisture they've got in the thing, or $3.50 or $3.40. It becomes a problem, I suppose, for farmers. Have you been discussing how to deal with that for them?
Well, a couple things. Last week, Emerson Essinger basically said there's a difference between a frost and a freeze. And,
right.
There is that deal, and we all know from past experience that 32 degrees or higher, the corn plant can go on and black layer and have a moisture drop, but once it gets to 28, the process is slower. My humble opinion is that I think it was great that we didn't see those terrific 28-degree temperatures and 32-degree temperatures, I think, very far south of Route 36. I know they're someone knows that some area that they did receive that, but at least at Oakwood and I think in Brockton, we didn't, and probably parts of Oakland here, we didn't see that 28-degree area. And the corn crop and the moisture levels, even though it's been wet, went on and matured normally. We are and know that what you're saying is true. Unless you have your own drying capacity, it's going to be a costly item. When historically in Economics 101 and the first day I was a merchandiser with Tabor Grain Company at Danville, Illinois, we all talked about a wet harvest as being bearish, the marketplace. A dry harvest, one in which you can put the corn away into this bin or that overhead tank or something, we could find little places to put it, and a quick harvest was bullish, and a slow harvest is bearish with high moisture corn. So, you know, I still think that a wet corn crop is bearish flat price. The second thing is we know it's bearish the customer. You know, there's a lot of tension here with wet weather. There's a lot of tension about what am I going to do with 25 and 30% moisture corn. And, you know, a little damage in there as well. So the farmer is very tense. He's not very happy. And the price levels have helped some. The other big factor here is the soybeans at 65 bushels or 60 bushels times 9 is one price. If it's $10, that's another price. And a week from now, if we do get the continuation of rain over large areas of the Midwest and some snow, you know, maybe we are looking at some stronger prices. The problem is, Todd, is you kick the word inflation in there, and we all know it's going to be more expensive to fill your car up with fuel. And but the administration and the government, the powers to be, are using this as an important tool to jumpstart this horribly weak economy. And that's one of the dilemmas that a farmer in the Midwest is going to have to evaluate, is what the real value of our corn and soybeans are.
Now, your contention is that the marketplace will be bearish because of the long, drawn-out wet harvest.
That's a part of the equation.
Right.
That's one card of the deck.
Right, one card of the deck. I did read some information from Darrell Good earlier in the week that he's taking a look at this price pop and suggesting maybe that this might be a place where producers would have to reconsider making some sales. Would you be in that same camp?
If, you know, on soybeans, I don't think, you know, with this bin buster crop that we're looking at, it, and you can get it harvested, I don't think that's such a bad equation. The corn is a tougher call, but if you don't have commercial, I mean, your own home drying system,
right,
and you know, your own home storage system, it's probably a logical thing to do.
Okay, and then one other item, and I think you'll want to discuss this. You mentioned Emerson, and I had an email conversation with him this morning. He'll be back in my office Friday morning to talk about conditions on the farm. And I think his worry at this point, the second worry after the freeze and the frost and the rainfall, is that trying to put in on this fall is going to be awfully difficult because of the lateness of the season and the wetness of the field or the dampness out there and the moisture. Do you think, given what you see in the broader economy, that producers need to book their in?
You mean book inputs?
Yeah, nitrogen in particular.
Well, what we're finding is that the guys that put on the spring-applied anhydrous and things like that have had a yield pop versus the ones that put it on the fall. But
all right,
Let's go to another important thing. Do I think that there's much yield loss from this early frost freeze? And the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the Informa people. They don't think that there's been a big drop in the yield. They think the government was probably pretty conservative on their numbers. But there was some test weight loss, obviously, and there was some double crop beans that were lost. But the real dilemma, of course, is to get the crop harvested. And what's also a worry is that the number of days that are available. And I will borrow a text from Wayne Nelson and say that these big combines can move awful fast over the ground. And we do hear about people buying tracks and improving this thing and that. But as near as we can tell, there's probably going to be 3 or 4 days from Friday to Wednesday of next week that there'll be some harvesting done, and then we just have to fight the rain and the slowdown in the harvest, and it's going to be a struggle, and we just have to wish everybody the best of luck to get everything done.
All right. On that note, I will let you go. Thanks much, Paul.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Yesterday afternoon, USDA released the latest crop progress and weather report. It shows maturity had advanced in the corn crop to 74% complete. That's 10 points behind last year, 18 points behind the 5-year rolling average. Crop development maturity was behind normal in all estimating states, with the exception of North Carolina, where maturity had completed for all the corn. Producers had harvested 13% of this year's crop by week's end, 7 points behind last year, and 22 points, or over 2 weeks behind the average. Harvest was slow through much of the Corn Belt as cool temps and continued rainfall have kept moisture levels and mature crop higher than normal. Overall, 70% of the corn crop still rated in good to excellent condition. That's unchanged from the ratings last week, but 8 points better than last year. From soybeans now, leaf drop had occurred in 89% of the 2009 soybean crop, 1 point behind last year and 6 points behind the 5-year average. The most significant delays remain in Mississippi, where leaf drop was over 3 weeks behind normal. Producers had harvested just 23% of the nation's acreage by the week's end. That's 26 points behind last year, 34 points behind the average. Harvest delays of 16 points or more were evident in all estimating states, with the exceptions of Kansas and North Carolina, where progress was 7 points and 1 point behind normal, respectively. Overall, 65% of the soybean crop rated in good to excellent condition. That's down 2 points from last week, 8 points better than last year. Now here are the statisticians from Illinois, Minnesota, and Nebraska with updates from their areas.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 11th. Continued cooler temperatures and above average rainfall have slowed an already sluggish harvest. A weekend frost also occurred in some parts of the state, and many farmers are still waiting for the moisture level to drop before harvest can continue. Topsoil moisture supplies ended the week up from the previous 3 weeks at 68% adequate and 32% surplus. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 2,890, trailing the historic average by 280 units. The corn crop finished the week at 56% reported in the mature stage, compared to 86% 1 year ago and 97% for the 5-year average. 6% of corn fields were reported harvested, compared to 19% a year ago and 56% for the 5-year average. Leading the state in the corn harvest category was the Southeastern Crop Reporting District at 34%. Overall, 65% of the corn crop was rated in good or excellent condition, unchanged from last week. Soybeans in the shedding leaves category advanced to 84%, compared to 89% 1 year ago, and 97% normally. 10% was reported harvested, compared to 42% 1 year ago, and 64% for the 5-year average. Leading the state in the harvested category was the Southwestern Crop Reporting District at 16%. Statewide, 64% of the soybean crop was rated in good or excellent condition, up 5 points from a week earlier. In other crops around the state, 8% of the sorghum crop was reported harvested, compared to 55% normally, and soft red winter wheat seeding advanced to 12% complete, compared to 43% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending October 11th, 2009. Temperatures averaged 16 degrees below normal across the state. The first snow of the season fell, with accumulations of over 12 inches in some western counties. Soybean conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Almost half the crop has been harvested, 4 days behind the average. Corn conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over three-quarters of the corn is mature. Corn moisture levels are still high in many areas, limiting harvest, which is 2 weeks behind the average. Sorghum conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over half of the crop is mature. Harvest is 10 days behind the average. Dry bean harvest is nearly complete, ahead of the average. Most of the winter wheat has been seeded and two-thirds has emerged. Proso millet harvest is over halfway complete. Pasture and range conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent. This is Becky Summer with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for Sunday, October 11, 2009. Cool, wet weather limited harvest progress for many producers. Soybeans were 26% harvested, a 7 percentage point gain from last week. Soybean harvest was 38 points behind last year and 40 points behind the five-year average. Corn harvest advanced 1 point to 2% harvested, 3 points behind last year and 13 points behind average. Sugar beet producers made the most progress last week, advancing harvest 24 points to reach 47% harvested. Other crops being harvested include dry beans at 82%, potatoes at 89%, and sunflowers at 14% harvested. Statewide, only 2.3 days were suitable for field work. Average temperatures were 8 to 12 degrees below normal last week, with overnight lows falling into the 20s, ending the growing season for the state. Last week's precipitation amounts ranged from 1 to 2 inches across central and southern Minnesota, while amounts were generally a half inch or less across the north. Several reporting stations have accumulated over 4 inches of precip in the last two reporting periods. Since September 20th, topsoil moisture ratings have improved from 53% to 91% adequate or surplus. Corn condition for the week was rated 72% good to excellent, unchanged from the previous week. Sugar beet condition was unchanged at 70% good to excellent, while sunflowers were 57% good to excellent, up 2 points from last week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks to the state statisticians from Minnesota, Nebraska, and Illinois for updates from their regions. If you'd like to hear that again, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason on the line with us this afternoon from their Climbers Delphi facility. As the Andersons, Matt Blaisdell, good afternoon to you, Matt. Oh, Matt is not with us. Well, that's just a sign that he hung up and he was in the midst of a meeting. I wasn't sure that he was going to make it over to talk to us anyway. So we'll just go on and talk to you a little bit about something that's coming up starting tomorrow right here on this radio station. You know, Illinois Public Media is in part funded by you, the listener to this radio station, and we're hopeful that starting tomorrow, you'll open your pocketbook up and pledge your financial support to the agricultural programming that comes to you, including the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can get a head start on that if you're at your desk this afternoon by visiting willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will be with us.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's National Chocolate Covered Insect Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1773, the Peggy Stewart, a Maryland cargo vessel, arrives from London full of East India tea. The ship's captain, Richard Jackson, was duped. He was told the cargo was linen. 5 days later, an angry mob convinced the ship's owners to burn the vessel and tea, the event now known as the Annapolis Tea Party. In 1834, Henry Blair received a patent for a corn planter. 2 years later, he received a patent on a cotton seed planter. Sampler signed his documents with an X because he had not learned to read or write. For some time, he was regarded as the first African-American to receive a patent. That honor generally now goes to Thomas Jennings for his dry scouring cleaning process some 12 years earlier. In 1857, Elwood Haynes was born. An American inventor, he built one of the first successful gasoline-powered automobiles. But he is best known for his work with natural gas. He was among the first to devise a method to dehydrate natural gas prior to it being pumped through supply lines. And in 1900, W. Edwards Deming was born. An American statistician, he is known as the father of total quality management. His work contributed to Japan's economic recovery after World War II. And that's a look at today's agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated, is with us out of Kansas City. He always joins us on Wednesday afternoons. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all a matter of perspective, I suppose. It doesn't look all that great at the moment, but it's just a matter of time before we get involved with some warmer temperatures here later this weekend, and that will help to make us feel a little bit better, if nothing else. We do have a couple of days' worth of scattered showers coming across the region. Both rain and a little bit of snowfall will be possible across the region as we go through Friday. There's an upper-level low-pressure system that will be passing through the region that will induce a little bit of snowfall, perhaps as far south as portions of Illinois and Missouri, but none of this is going to be accumulative, I don't believe. But it will mix in with some of the rainfall, and it'll be the end of this particular series of wet weather biased patterns we've been seeing. We'll see the sun come out as we get into the second half of the weekend, and we'll start raising the temperatures a bit, and it's going to seem a little bit more normal for this time of the year for a while. The problem is of course, good things always seem to be short-lived anymore, and there is a storm system that will be coming back across the region during the middle to latter part of next week. Now, this storm system, the models have absolutely no consistency, and I think the only thing we can count on is that there will be a chance for some precipitation returning at midweek next week. At this point, I would probably put my money down on a weak system and that we will not see it be a major impact on the Midwest, but we will see a minor setback to the drying trend that will be underway, and harvesting will be briefly interrupted. But I think we'll go back into some drying again at the end of next week, going into the following weekend. So I really think we're coming down the end of this long pipe of frequent precipitation and just downright yucky weather, and things will get a lot better, I think.
Good, oh boy, I hope so. If you had to guess over the next 10 days, how many would be potentially good for harvesting, or how many days might be dry enough that they could get in the field? And I don't suppose you need to take into account how wet that field is at this point, but just what days, how many out of the next 10 might be usable as a drying day?
Yeah, I think we can probably do about half that period, about 5 days worth will be attainable, I think, during that period of time. There will be some areas that will be too wet during that period, even with the drier weather, especially down in the Delta. I think we've got some serious problems down there. It's going to be a while before they can get back into the fields. But I know 5 days isn't enough, and there's probably quite a few people shaking their heads listening to me, but I think that at least it's a step in the right direction, and perhaps we can manage to get this weather pattern to change additionally to make it better down the road. But for right now, that's as good as it gets.
All right. Thanks much, Drew.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.